This is the Todd Wright Toddcast that is presented by Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm serving the greater Tampa Bay area. You do not need to live nor work nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida to call Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group is the reason and the sponsor that provided the Todd Wright Tour Championship hats to everyone that played in my biggest and best golf tournament ever at Black Diamond's world-famous Quarry Course just a couple weekends ago. My logo on the front, Brandon Legal Group logo right on the back, adjustable snapback hats. Look for one in a golf shop near you. I'm serious. They might be there. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group. Hey, also, the Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers has three locations in the Tampa Bay area for fun of any age, and especially in the summertime when kids are out of school or it's just too hot outside for even people like me to go play 18 holes. I played 9 at Black Diamond yesterday in that heat. Pin Chasers offers relief, fun, and a lot of promos. Their late night specials stand out. 9 p.m. to close Sunday through Thursday. For example, on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. to close, $10.99, unlimited bowling. Unlimited. Bowl as much as you want, as long as you want. Well, they're going to close the doors eventually. But from 9 to close, go for it. And remember, shoes are always included. You don't pay to rent them at Pin Chasers. There are $3 cocktail specials, $2 Blue Moon drafts, late night specials, Sunday through Thursday night, even the breakfast bowl, 7 days a week. You enjoy a hearty breakfast and bowl for 2 hours prior to 11 a.m. any day. $8 per person. Three Pin Chasers in Tampa Bay, East Pasco, 6816 Gale Boulevard, 4847 North Armenia in Midtown, 5555 West Hillsborough, just east of the Veterans Expressway. Literally, 3 wood from the tip, north tip of the Tampa Airport landing strip. Pin Chasers. Thank you to Anthony Peroni. Speaking of great sponsors, Original Hooters, with 10 locations in the Tampa Bay area, is back for a third straight season as the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, the one that started it all. This will be our fourth season with the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which has its own fantasy podcast leagues. The last two defending champions have already confirmed with me, Robert Wright, Bill Eisman, both golfers. Now playing in my events, coincidence? I'd like to think not. Nevertheless, I just reached out to Ty, our favorite Hooters calendar girl, who works the bar Thursday nights at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, where we've done our fantasy draft night the last couple years. She says she's in. She's actually going to pick up a double and stay after getting done with the bar that afternoon to work our event. We love you, Ty. No, seriously, we do. Just ask Ira. Ira will be there. Joe Bucks fan will be there. I'm going to try to get a couple other new names you may be familiar with there. We had two leagues the last year. This year, we might have three. Tentative date is Sunday night, August 25th. That is strategic because virtually the entire NFL will be done with significant players, and there will be no further injury concerns. There's one NFL game that night. It'll be on while we draft, but 30 of the 32 NFL teams will basically be done with all the projected starters, and you won't have any injury surprises, at least from game action, before the regular season begins. So for those of you that want to play fantasy football in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues that annually draft at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, or just come to meet Ty and get a picture. That's good enough. Sunday, August 25th, roughly 7-ish, 7:30 p.m., something that night, File it away. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast returns later this month, presented by Hooters. On the theme of the Todd Wright family of podcasts, each playoffs, we do the Lightning Playoff Podcast. Sometimes they go a couple of months, and most recently they went a handful of days. And that continues to be the problem. And the recent move, very recent, of I don't really think anybody looked at the Lightning's backup goaltender situation and saw a need for a change. As a matter of fact, didn't Louis Domingue's performance during the regular season, when Andre Vasilevsky suffered a foot injury that kept him out for a while, there were a number of people like me who looked at that and said, well, thank God it's not Budaj, who was, every team signs a guy or keeps a guy around, and we're all wondering, why the hell is that guy here? He stinks. Who does he know? And why is the relationship more important than the production? Budaj stunk. It was probably one of the worst things Yzerman did while he was here, and eventually he had to admit it and get rid of the guy. So Domingue was more than fine, very capable. And even Domingue reacted on social media yesterday to the Lightning signing a new backup goaltender with sort of a some sort of meme that said, what the fuck is going on here? So the feeling is that the Lightning are going to move on from Louis Domingue by bringing in the backup goaltender of the Carolina Hurricanes. Sure, Carolina made the playoffs. Unlike Tampa Bay, Carolina actually won games in the playoffs. But they hit their ceiling. They got into the conference finals, and they were no match for the Boston Bruins, none. And when Peter Mrazek went down, McElhinney was kind of a, oh, we'll rally around this guy. Well, now this guy is the backup in Tampa Bay because he makes about $300,000 less than Louis Domingue. Of the 16 teams that made the Stanley Cup playoffs, Carolina's goaltender situation was probably in the bottom three. So why are you bringing in a backup from a team that clearly didn't have goaltending as a strength when backup goaltender wasn't your problem last year? Nobody's pointing at Louis Domingue and saying, yeah, he's a reason why the Lightning got swept after winning 62 regular season games. I think this just further shows that the Lightning organization is trending in the wrong direction. Julien Brisebois may be in over his head as he's starting to put more and more of his own prints on this team. And they are so desperate for money, they'd mess with something that doesn't need to be messed with for $300,000. Maybe that's the sticker shock off not getting Joe Pavelski. And that's where this goes next. Joe Pavelski, longtime captain of the San Jose Sharks. Now, did the Sharks win a Stanley Cup in his time there? No, the Sharks have never won a Stanley Cup. But they've been more recently to the Stanley Cup Finals than the Tampa Bay Lightning have. It might have been the very next season, as a matter of fact. Once the San Jose Sharks decided to break the bank to keep Erik Karlsson, I don't get it, they had no money to keep their captain. So Joe Pavelski went out looking for a new team at roughly age of, he's 34 years old, and he visited Dallas and then Tampa Bay, and he chose Dallas. He said it checked all the boxes. He liked their goaltending situation with Ben Bishop. He said he fit in very nicely in their top six forwards with the talent they currently have there in Dallas. He obviously liked the climate. He liked no state income tax. Now, some of these things might sound familiar to Lightning fans, but he liked them in Dallas, certainly more than he liked something about Tampa Bay. The fact that Pavelski chose Dallas and not Tampa Bay, there are some close to the Lightning that say, well, it's clearly financially related. Pavelski signed for an average annual value of $7 million. That's about four less than Panarin signed with the New York Rangers, which is the latest New York Rangers. Let's just throw money at the problem and everything will be fine. Doesn't work. So Pavelski goes to Dallas for $7 million. It might have been more than just money in Tampa Bay. Pavelski might have looked at the situation with the team and the culture and said, yeah, I'd be treated like an outsider. That core of players isn't going to want me to be captain material. Because Stamkos isn't. Stamkos is a scorer. He's not a captain. The Lightning would have been wise to bring in Joe Pavelski and put the C on his sweater. And perhaps he was told that wouldn't be happening. Hello, Dallas. Now, if it was financially related, it actually has a lot of people in Tampa Bay talking about, well, if we can't afford a player like that, how can we make room for a player like that? You can only do so many meaningless flips of Domingue for McElhinney at $300,000 to add up to what you would need to bring in an impact player like that. So recently on one of the segments I do on Spectrum Sports 360 on Bay News 9, a show that airs every weeknight at 10:30 p.m. In the five, six counties of the Tampa Bay area, we were asked to find a player that the Lightning would be better off moving off the roster to create room to bring in a player like a Joe Pavelski if that opportunity came along again. And you can find the very short answer to this on the Spectrum Sports 360 Twitter account. The segment is there. Since they only give us roughly 2 minutes to talk about it, I wanted to take a few more minutes here to explain why I thought the right subtraction from the current Lightning core of high-priced players is Andre Palat. Now, here's the first reaction to people who hear someone like me suggest that Palat no longer needs to be in Tampa Bay. Oh, you can't break up the triplets. Can we move on from that, please? Can we stop coddling this group of minor leaguers that was together, John Cooper and Tyler Johnson and Nikita Kucherov and Andre Palat? Can we stop with that? I understand that it had some positives. How many Stanley Cups has it produced by keeping all of them together? How many? In a window where clearly the Lightning were considered and certainly played in the regular season and put itself in a position in 2015 and 2018 to win the Stanley Cup going deep into the playoffs, how many cups did keeping that group together from the minors work? How many cups did it produce? None. As a matter of fact, as I've pointed out here on the podcast before, the goal is, In pro hockey, let me lay it out for you very simply. The goal is to win four playoff series in 1 year. That's the goal. The last 4 years, the Lightning have won a total of four playoff series. That gets you nowhere. And there's nothing wrong with Andre Palat. I'm just saying, you're overpaying him and he's replaceable. And at this point where you're up against the cap, that's the guy who is the one to replace. So stop with the, oh, you can't break up the triplets. Oh, and they came up together. Here are the results. None. Zero. No Stanley Cups. Something's missing. And because you're up against the cap, you need to take something away to create room to bring in something else. The difference between Palat's current annual value and what Pavelski took in Dallas was under $2 million. Throw in the Domingue McElhinney thing, and you got it down to almost $1.5 million. Suddenly, it's doable. So let me make more of the case of why Palat is replaceable. Not only are the Lightning trending in the wrong direction with this group, but so is Palat. First full season in the NHL, wow, 23 goals, first full season in the NHL. The next season, the year the Lightning went to the Stanley Cup Finals, lost to Chicago, hit 47 assists. Since 23 goals, his first full season, his high's been 17. Since the 47 assists in the Lightning's Eastern Conference championship season, his highest has been 35. And the numbers are sliding. Also, they are sliding because many said all along about Palat, he's not big enough. Now, you can't grow, but you can bulk up. He hasn't. He's 28. It's not happening. This is the size he's at. Well, because of that, the last two seasons, Palat has missed a total of 44 games. So over the last 2 years, he's missed half of a season combined. Half of a season. So he's not even out there. You know, last year, some people don't like the plus-minus stat. They never have. But sometimes it doesn't lie. Last year in the regular season when the Lightning won those 62 games, clearly the plus for some of the players was insane and off the charts. You know what Palat's was? 4. Yeah. There were probably some games that certain Lightning players were a 4 in a single game. Palat was plus 4 for the season. So what's he adding at this point? Don't give me the, well, you know, he's a top 6 forward. Here are the top 6 forwards I see on the Lightning. Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Gord, Cirelli, Johnson. Those are the top 6 forwards. Palat doesn't shoot enough. You know that Joe Pavelski, some actually have brought up now that he signed in Dallas. He's coming off a career low in shots for a season at 188. Palat's high is 165. It's telling, isn't it? Pavelski also is coming off a 38-goal season. 38. Palat, first full season in the NHL, wowed us with 23. It's only been down from there. In the four-game sweep, the loss to Columbus, Palat had 1 goal, no assists. And I'll go you one more for those of you saying, well, he's actually a guy out there that hits people. Okay, I'll give you that. So was JT Miller. They dumped that awful contract on Vancouver. Got him out of here. And if you're saying, well, Palat's a better player than Miller, oh, I agree. But you can't play the he hits people card. You can get players to hit people. You can. That's an attitude more than anything else. The Lightning shipped off JT Miller, who hit people. And the Lightning have a young player in Matthew Joseph who actually hit more people than Palat did last year and scored the same number of points per game on average as Palat did. Again, there's nothing wrong with Palat, but he's replaceable on a team that clearly needs something else. And at over $5 million for the next 3 years, that's the money you need to get what you need. Yes, there's a no-trade clause. Players can be told, what do we need to do to have you waive that? And they waive it. Perhaps it's as simple as saying to Palat, would you waive it to go play for the GM that you trust? And we'll send you to Detroit. Because at some point in the near future, you'll probably be playing for the same head coach there that you've been playing for here in Tampa Bay. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult at 844-4BLG4ME. And by Pin Chasers, if you're still looking for a summer camp in July, for children 5 to 15 that has them indoors, bowling, playing arcade games. They do do a few things outdoors. I don't know what they are. I'm sure it's all good and fun, but the point is that they're not stuck outside in the heat when you go to a summer camp at Pin Chasers. And they get a personalized bowling ball. You know, this whole time, Anthony Peroni's been giving me these great prizes for my golfers to bring people in bowling. I never got a personalized bowling ball to give away. Heck, I'd like a personalized bowling ball myself. They get that as part of the summer camp. Three locations, and there are summer camps at all three. East Pasco, Midtown, and the Veterans location on West Hillsborough Avenue, 5555 West Hillsborough. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast so you know when the next Todd Wright Toddcast is posted and available. Thanks very much for listening. Talk to you next time.